So, James,
Benny, we've both gone at the same time. That's gone. Okay. Usually my job, I know we've done a little bit of planning, but I still thought that I would, you know.
It's typically yourself, and that's fine, and probably should have brought this up earlier, but I just thought, you know.
It's a good start. It's a good start.
It's a great start for the grand final, mate. It's a great start. But I've been doing a lot of thinking at the moment, Jake, and I thought that's what I'd try and get it in now.
Can be dangerous, a lot of thinking.
It can be, absolutely. You know, with lockdowns, a lot of self-reflection, you know, a lot of questions, you know, when will this end? You know, when can I have a beer with mates? How many sausages and bread do I think I've ever eaten in my lifetime?
Yeah.
You know, just those sort of, have you ever thought about that?
I haven't. What number do you think you'd be around for the sausages and bread?
We'll get to that. But what do you think your ballpark would be? Not to throw it on you straight away, but if you were just hazard a guess.
I mean, I've been around a lot of sporting clubs, or sort of the same.
But
like, you know, those, like, you'd have to be nudging 1,000, I guess, wouldn't you? Would you? Is it a lot?
Well, I mean, you've kind of spoiled the party here a little bit, but I asked Molly, and she thought about it and came back to me. I asked her what a ballpark, and she came back and said 72.
And,
I mean, I asked her a ballpark, and she says 72, like, specifically. And I'm like, how'd you get that? And her math was good. She said from an age of 4, at an average of 3 sausages and bread per year, 72. And, I mean, you know, half a point for working out.
Yeah, I mean, like, just because the math adds up doesn't mean that the reality is correct, Molly.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But, like, and she's not the type of, when she said an average of, like, she is more that type of personality where I would probably guarantee it wasn't an average of 3, but more 3 every single year from 4, which, you know, like that sort of way.
Like an allowance.
Yeah, like she probably knew if she had 3 in September and then wouldn't have one until the start of the new calendar year, that sort of thing. But as you would already imagine, those are absolute rookie numbers.
Yeah, there's rookie no way. Like,
no. I mean, she didn't grow up around football clubs as
but we're looking at Bunnings, like school fates, fundraisers, all these sort. Not to mention, you know, like sporting clubs, even like. And then we're really getting into the thousands, obviously, where my mind sort of went. I am interested to see what you've got for me next.
Well, glad you brought that up, because I think you can put that down to bad parenting, 3 a year. I mean, come on. You're skipping all these things that you're talking about, those traditional Australian.
And it's such an easy, even at home, I remember having sausages and bread, like when dinner was in the too hard basket scenario. it's a pretty versatile sort of thing.
I'm glad you're on my side here, because I had to think about it, and I would easily say that mine would be close to 1,000 sausages and bread in my lifetime. And there may be people saying those are rookie numbers at home, and there may be people saying that is ridiculous, but it's the same math. I thought, you know, from say 4 years of age when you probably started eating them, at an average of 42 sausages a year over 24 years is 1,008 sausages. I know 42, when you think of it that way, sounds like a lot, but that's...
That does, you're right.
But that's on average, Jack. I mean, I had some formative sausage eating years.
But isn't that... I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, but so if you have, what did you say, 42 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
So, it's about 1 every 8 days, sort of, you know, maybe if my maths is somewhere near. So,
correct. I mean,
let's say almost once a week, which means that, and I mean, I'm also thinking, now I've really got my mind ticking over here. I'm also thinking that when I've had one, I've had 2. And as I've got older, 2 becomes 3 and 3 becomes 4. Like, I could eat at cricket clubs and stuff.
Yeah,
would eat 5 or 6, you know, like comfortably now as like a lunch meal sort of thing.
100%. If that's all that's on offer, you want to get the most bang for your buck.
Maybe I'm going
unders then, because the way you're on board, I'm like, well, because of what I was going to say, I mean, on average, so in the last couple of years, it would have dropped off significantly. I'm not going to lie. Like it just has. You certainly get to a certain age where you just can't eat as much physically, but... I had some formative sausage eating years. Like, I can't understate that. Like,
we also,
I
was, Just develop your palate a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, you could get some lamb and herb sort of set, type setup.
Oh, gourmet.
Yeah, a little bit of a gourmet. But I was, you got to remember, I was 6 foot at the age of 11 and a half. I was a big boy. and there was even this one time we're down the beach, down at summer, at the beach house having a barbecue. All the leftover sausages were on a tray, one of those big sort of trays that, you know, don't fit in the fridge. And as soon as we'd finished dinner, Mum had told me that I was on dishes and clearing up, and I was meant to catch up with some friends down the beach straight after. Like we were 16 or at that age where it was like, hang on, this is throwing a complete spanner in the works. And you know, it doesn't sound that bad right now. So like if that was, I'd be like, yeah, cool, I'll meet you guys 10 minutes later. But at the time I was so filthy and so angry, and because this tray wouldn't fit in the fridge, there's obviously extra steps involved. So taking those sausages off the tray onto another plate, glad wrapping that plate, putting that plate in, and then doing the dish for the tray. So as you can imagine, at a 16-year-old who's got a bit of a point to prove, a bit of a chip on his shoulder that night, I decided to eat them all instead.
Was this when you were going through your goth stage as well? So did you have your black fringe over your face and you've done it now? I'm not doing the dishes, Mum.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But I ate every single one of them after dinner. So I'd already had probably 3 or 4 at dinner.
Did you have bread with them, or were you just eating them, picking them up and just...
These ones I just ate picking them up. Okay. But there were 13 sausages on that tray. So that story alone, I mean, like, I didn't have that story a lot of the time, but... You know, 13 snags on top of it, probably 4 at dinner, that's 17. I'm like, I'm thinking, maybe pushing the 1500. I don't know.
I wonder if it's not sausage related that I think about it, but I have had the thought, I guess, that when does technology get to the point where like everything you've done is recorded? Like, how many times have you like driven a car, for instance, or heard a particular song? In, you know, obviously with Spotify and Apple Music, you can sort of see, you know, which song you listen to the most, but like, if I jump in the car and I hear Bruno Mars, and then it's like those songs that you sort of think you hear everywhere, it's like, I wonder how many times I've actually heard this. Like, I wonder if that there'll be some sort of like AI in the future that, you know, you can be like, hey, Google, how many times have I heard Bruno Mars Just the Way You Are? And they're like, hi, Jake, over the course of the last 25 years, you've heard Bruno Mars like 17,000 times. I'm like, oh, well, that's a lot. And I wonder if the future is the same for sausages and bread too.
Maybe. Or they integrate it where they say, you tend to listen to this song whilst eating a sausage and bread, and that next time that song comes on, they say, hey, we know what
you start salivating whenever you hear Bruno Mars.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
It's a very interesting concept. Even, you know, like attending footy games, obviously, you know, you celebrate the 300, but like I would have been to so many Carlton games. Obviously, you don't go every week, but like, you know, Mark Murphy's just retired with 300 games and I was 14 when he started playing. So, you know, like 13 or 14 when he started playing. So like I had a few under my belt, obviously didn't go to every single one. And, but it'd be interesting to, you know, those sort of things too. I would like to think that someone somewhere is keeping a dial of a real log of what you've what you've done in your life, you know, how many days of school. I know you could probably work those sort of things out, but.
But I also on the flip side of that argument, I do like if that ever became a thing, then gone are the days of you know, the shit talker and the person who puts a bit of mayo on their story, because those people are important, because if you could actually just call them out and actually say, no, actually, you only had 825 sausages in your life, you're a bloody liar. And you never
watch. Yeah. A little hologram will pop up.
Case in point, we've got my Uncle Paul coming back on the show this evening, which will be great. The Nostradamus, the Oracle, as people have been calling him. he is one of the grade A shit talkers of his time and our time. And I think if some sort of AI like that were to come in, then this bloke would just be no fun at dinner parties anymore, that cyber caliber.
Yeah, but I get the feeling that Paul's from the future. So,
well, we should find out what his thoughts are on this weekend's game as well. Yeah.
Well, we will, because he knows the answer. Before we do get to this weekend's game, you have flagged the fact we have Paul coming on. We've also got our resident demon, Jimmy, getting involved again, which we absolutely love. And Sam 60 is returning, seemingly by popular demand. We saw on Twitter today that people were lining the streets once they heard that Sam 60 was returning. But before we get to those very special guests, those who've been listening to the show will know that a few weeks ago you missed one of the great finals because you were watching a film, Ben. Can you just remind us on which game it was you missed? And what film it was that you watched at the time.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. It was the Doggies Brisbane semi, and regrettably missed that game. Ended up watching Ocean's 11, which classic, if you ask me. As I said at the time, there was a lot of mixed emotions, and you asked specifically why, and I did say I was still dirty that the Dogs had beaten my Bombers the week before.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet from our main man Rudy today, actually, and he was the point he made about why he liked the bye for the preliminary between the prelims and the granny was because his Cats obviously lost in the prelim, and it's given him enough time to get excited for the grand final regardless. And I think there's an element of that in there. I think if it was a week in between, I would have watched that game. But go on, we had posted something on our socials, have we?
Yeah, I'd sort of like to unpack that idea from yourself and Rudy a little bit more, but I'm not going to
really
do
selfish.
It. Yeah, I mean, you know, to both Ben and Rudy, grow up would be my advice. But I guess, you know, maybe when you're accustomed to a more successful outlook, you know, you're not necessarily, you don't deal with loss, losing games as well as some of us who are more accustomed to it. But so we put out there... on our Instagram today, we said Ben doesn't get to watch the grand final; he has to watch a movie. Which movies would you recommend? So I've sifted through the responses. I've sifted through the responses, and I didn't want to give you them all because you know if you'd seen them all, but I want to give you three that sort of jumped out to me. So from Rajay Will, who I believe is known to both of us. He said that you should watch Jackie Brown.
Okay.
It's not a film that I've seen, but I feel like there's a story behind it.
I was going to say, there is a genuine story behind that, and that's an inside sort of scoop, which might not be a story I can probably tell on the show. But
okay. It did raise 74.7 million dollars at the box office. So
did it now? Is that, I mean, that's big coin to you and I, but is that big coin? I mean, it was back in the
it had a budget of 12 million, 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. A flight attendant caught smuggling gun money has to choose between teaming up with the cops to bust her arms deal a boss or keeping her mouth shut and going to jail. But given it's a Quentin Tarantino film, I'm sure that there's twists and turns everywhere in that. So that was one option. Our good mate, Rodon47, Riley, a big fan of the show, also a grieving Cat supporter. He said, how to lose a guy in 10 days. So really sort of make you suffer in your jocks for the want of a better term.
By the sound of it.
Which I'm sure Molly will enjoy while she's not eating her sausage and bread. And KT underscore Pops, who I believe is well known to you.
Oh, yeah. What does she say?
She said, off to grandmother's house we go.
Okay, a couple, inside.
Yeah, which again, I had to look up.
That's the Olsen twins.
The Olsen twins.
That's a classic. Yeah, they were probably 3 years of age in that one. That's probably my favourite Olsen twin film, that one. Actually. We used to watch it at our grandma's growing up a lot. That's my sister, by the way.
So there you go.
I might have to. I mean...
You could just have a movie marathon.
I mean, I could watch them during the day. We've got all day now, and we've spoken about that before. And I won't get you started on whether or not you care about what time the game starts.
Start calling out all the bad parents again. Well, so there's our three movie options. Hopefully, hopefully whatever you choose to watch, Ben, you're thoroughly entertained.
Now, just for the record, this wasn't like this is not something I have to sign up and do, is it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it would be in good faith if you did. Yeah, watch
I mean, it'd be. I did think about this. So I was wondering if I'd get stitched up in some capacity on admitting that I didn't watch that game, and I thought down the track, like, you know, if you got enough people together, would I actually? Do I deserve to miss the grain to watch a game and to watch a movie instead? And I thought, like, yeah, it would be funny joke and stuff, but at the same time, probably not funny enough for the amount of listeners that we get for me to have some sort of to miss the actual grand final just to watch a game just for this podcast.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if that's. Yeah. I don't think.
We'll
I don't think it adds up.
Well, speaking of the grand final, Ben, we know we've got some really big guests. We love the conference call. It's a little bit different this time. We're giving them a little bit of a one-to-one experience. So first cab off the rank is our favourite demon, Jimmy Plunkett.
The Magoos.
Benny, we've alluded to a first special guest here tonight. The biggest demons man we know, a man who was stuck by them through thick and thin when it would have been easier to pack up and go to the snow, for the want of a better term. The great man, James Plunkett, is joining us. Jimmy, welcome to a show that I never thought you'd be featuring on as a Melbourne fan, the grand final episode of the Magoos. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Benny. I must say, Jake, I never thought that I would be here either after a long, long time. But, yeah, it's bloody exciting.
We're thrilled to have you on because, as I sort of said, you know, like you have been one that stuck by them. You know, you've been one who would attend those Sunday 1:10 games versus Fremantle in the MCC, and you know, you'd still make a day of it. So you must just be tickled, Pete, to see where this group has been able to take the footy club in 2021.
Yeah, it's amazing, really. I never really thought. You hope, but you never really think that from where we were, even 5 years ago, that. 5 or 6 years ago that, you know, we'd ever make a grand final. But, yeah, I think that I've been listening to a lot of things over the last few weeks, but I listened to Peter Jackson, ex-CEO of the footy club, and he spoke about the culture change from then on when they got Roosie. And I think since then it's been flipped on its head and, it's been amazing.
You talk about obviously going into a grand final, and then they've also chucked the bye on you as well. How are you feeling about? Is this just more days of just having a couple of beers after work and just sort of relaxing the nerves? How are you feeling?
Oh, that last weekend was the most ridiculous non-sporting weekend I reckon of all time. Just a wasted weekend, but I don't know if it helped with the nerves or not, but it's been strange couple of weeks, that's for sure.
So talk us through the prelim final, I think, because that was I tipped Geelong as you're an avid follower of this show, both yep. listening and on the socials, and I know that you messaged me pretty quick smart. I must have been on your hit list sort of straight away there of people to go after, which is fine, smell the roses. But that prelim final, to be able to watch your team play like that, that must have just been something else.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was very, very nervous before the game. Didn't speak much. Didn't really want to watch anything. But once it got started, it was amazing. Really, and that third quarter is probably the best quarter of footy I've ever seen from a Melbourne side, and probably the best ever performance I've seen from a Melbourne player in Big Maxi. So. It was very nice to go into the last quarter knowing that we were through to a grand final. The nerves were a lot more relaxed, and it was probably one of the most enjoyable nights I've had watching the footy. That's for sure.
We know that you've got your little man cave sort of set up. I'm sure that you
is that what that is.
Sure, you watch the demons in there. So, what's the vibe like around the household with your brother Sammy, who we love, and your old boy? What are they? How are they sort of feeling about it all when the demons are on? Are you watching it as a collective? Are you hearing each other yell from other corners of the house? What's the dynamic like?
No, we're watching it together, which sometimes causes a few rifts, but. they were all very passionate, and it's been good to be able to watch it all together. Obviously, we normally we go together and sit at the footy together. So yeah, we watch it at home. I feel sorry for the neighbours, because I tell you what, there was some bloody noise and kerfuffle going on last Friday night, or the Friday night before. It was going off. So yeah, we're watching it together, and it's been pretty cool to watch it together.
I want to say it wouldn't have been last Friday night. Well, it would have just been going off watching Better Homes and Gardens, I imagine.
Yeah, the one and a half hour special Better Homes and Gardens was.
Just on there was similar, obviously, like that game against Geelong was just, as you said, that third quarter was one of the best quarters of footy you've probably ever seen on one side of the fence. And there were similarities in the way that the D's beat Geelong is similar to how Port obviously beat them a few weeks before that. Is there any, I mean, I think the D's have obviously proved us wrong time and time again that they don't really lapse in that concentration, and they're just always hunting and always tackling and always pressuring. Just seeing how Port reacted after that, coming up against the Dogs, and just they were the complete opposite, thought it was just going to get done. Is there any concerns from your perspective that, you know, that could repeat itself, or you had full faith there?
Definitely. I think I'd be lying, and I think every Melbourne supporter would be lying if they thought that it's going to be, smooth sailing. But yeah, I must say, I watched the other prelim and I was, concerned. I think the two best teams have probably made the grand final. The Bulldogs were a fake fifth team. They were easily a top four team for majority of the season. And
I thought you were gonna whack them then.
Nah, nah, I'm not. I'm too smart for that, Jake. Come on. I don't know. They've been a great team as well. So I think they match up pretty well with us. Which is concerning, but
one apiece, isn't it, over the year?
Yeah, one apiece. I think we went away from what we did the first time we played them, which I don't really know why. So hopefully we go back to, a hard tag on Liberatore, which sort of stops their outside ball use. I think looking at the two prelims, if we play at our very best like we did against Geelong, I think that our best is probably better than theirs. But, you know, grand final day brings anything.
And you should look at the two coaches involved too. Like when you say the two best teams have probably made it, I think it's also the two most well coached teams as well. Like both teams clearly play for their both teams clearly playing for their coach. And have you seen Goody? Because like obviously you guys had that big peak where you made a prelim not too long ago. Felt like it might have been a flash in the pan. But then you've been brewing since then as well. Was that a 17 or 18? I think 18.
18. I think 18 was, definitely looking back now, that was probably a lucky year. We got rolling at the right time, which, you know, it happens, but, it was probably premature to where we were as a club and as a team. There's a lot of players still in the side now that played in that finals campaign, but have played an extra 40, 50 games now. And you look at Goody, for the bloke was probably under the most pressure coming into this season. And I've said it to, you know, a few mates talking about it, that the proof's in the pudding with keeping your coach and backing them in. It's happened with Goody here now, and it's happened with Damien Hardwick and Bomber Thompson in the past. And Jakey, I won't bring up the Carlton side.
I was going to say, was that a bit of a drive-by?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first.
No, it wouldn't be the first. But yeah, I'm wrapped for Goody, to be honest. He was under a lot of pressure and the media were right on his back. So I'm wrapped for him, that's for sure.
Do you see – oh, sorry, these questions are just coming to me at the moment, Jake. I'm too apologising.
Keep going. You're
just,
on
just on the coaches as well. You see a lot of the ones who didn't quite make it, like Chris Scott, for a while. That comes to mind straight away, about not really, you know, throwing things around much and that sort of thing. Whereas you look at the D's and particularly the Dogs, like Bevo is so happy to throw things around and really just have a crack at something that's different. Do you feel like I don't know who's going to come out and try and coach against the other team, but can you see there might be three or four changes from both sides depending how the game's playing out, and just completely just throwing different things in the mix.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're right with Bevo. He seems to really throw it around, and he's not afraid to even, you know, change up a good side. So I think they'll definitely have a couple of players come in, Waitman and Keith. I think he didn't play in the prelim as well, which they'll make a massive difference to their side, even though, you know, they won by 70 points. But, yeah, that Keith's going to be a big matchup. I think he'll probably take Brown or McDonald. But then, yeah, you're right. He does seem to throw it around, and yeah, it could be anyone. But yeah, there's a lot of matchups that are going to really decide the game if they go with Shaki on lever type sort of thing like they did with Alir. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
It's going to be very, very interesting, Jimbo. I know that you'll be you know, in an ideal world, you probably would have been at Moonee Valley on the Friday night, maybe for a few nerve settlers and a few little bets. So what is on the agenda? We have discussed on this podcast at length the time of the game. How do you think we're now chatting on Tuesday evening? What are the next 5 days look like, and how are you going to drag yourself to what will be about this time, maybe a little bit later on Saturday night?
Yeah, Grant, shocking timing. It's going to be a hard day. Obviously can't smack the beers too early or might not make it. So I think I'm not too sure. I guess work a bit the rest of the week, and then I really don't know.
He's rattled. What do you mean?
If you want to take a leap out of my book.
I'm thinking about it now, and bloody my heart's beating at a million miles an hour.
It's only the Tuesday as well. Yeah, if you want to take a leap out of my book, James, when Essendon were playing the Doggies in the final at halftime, I was my girlfriend caught me stress weeding out the backyard. I was in my robe and I was just picking out just the weeds, and I just couldn't contain it because I was trying not to be on the phone, that sort of thing. It's just, yeah. I don't know how people deal with
stress
it.
Stress weeding.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I might have to bring that in maybe during the day on Saturday. I think Friday night we'll definitely be watching the Valley, and then I think now that there's a bit of racing on the Saturday as well now, seeing as the footy's at night. So, yeah.
Something to keep you occupied. Let's leave it with a tip, Jimbo. Give us a winner, a margin, a first goal, and a Norm Smith. And I'm interested to chat to Norm Smith with you because I reckon you might have uncovered something here that might be worth a little bit of a play. But I'll leave you to do your tips, and then I've got something I want to discuss with you.
Okay. Well, I have to go with the D's. I think we will win. I'm going to say 19 points. Just enough to make the last few minutes enjoyable, hopefully. First goal scorer, I'm going to go with Cozzy Pickett. Just rove the pack and snap one around the corner. And I'm going to go with Clayton Oliver for the Norm Smith. His final series has been remarkable so far. And he's built for finals, like probably another one like Jack Viney, but that would be my tip.
Very good, very good. All very reasonable picks, but I think something that you might have stumbled upon, I hope my memory serves me correctly, but you did chat about Tom Liberatore and the impact of how that game changed the time you played them and beat them pretty comfortably. And I believe that was the handiwork of James Harms, was it not?
Absolutely.
So, and James Harms that night, I reckon himself maybe had 25 and a goal, and kept Tom Liberatore very, very quiet, matched decidingly quiet. And he's $34 to win the Norm Smith.
I know that it
might not be the most, you know, like obviously in a game that is literally packed with midfield stars, Petrarca, Oliver, Bontempelli, and then McRae, Smith, Gorn, you know, all these.
Yeah, I like the element you're bringing here, though.
I'm just thinking that, you know, like if all these guys get 30 odd touches, whatever, and, you know, they're all serviceable and they might be harder to split, but some of the more astute judges might just go, gee, Harms had 23, kicked the goal, Liberatore had 15, and that was the difference. So you might have stumbled onto something accidentally there, Jimbo, but I'll be following you in.
Yeah, good. I like that, but I don't know if we've got who is on the Norm Smith voting panel. Is there actually any, you know, astute commentators, or have we got, you know, the run of the mill sort of stock standard people that we keep rocking up with on Channel 7?
I don't know either. You would like to think that, you know, maybe someone, maybe a chief agitator like a Kane Corns could actually be held accountable for an opinion, maybe. But I don't know who is on the Norm Smith panel. But let's hope that they understand the game to some degree. And
yeah, I think they'll be right. I think they'll get it.
And they give Harms the nod. Jimmy, thank you. Good luck. Look after yourself over the next 5 days and then for whatever comes next as well.
Please stay safe.
It is a little bit disappointing, obviously, that you won't be able to attend in person, but I'm sure that you and the family will make up for any lost time. And good luck more than anything.
Thanks, boys. Across the weekend, my friend. Go the Dees.
Hi there. This is Ben. You might remember me from the Magoos, which you're currently listening to. I'm the other guy. There's Jake and then there's Ben. I'm Ben. I actually just wanted to let everyone know that we had a great offer for you guys. If you're aware of the Carlton Draft, not the famous beverage, although they're pretty good too, but the boys at Carlton Draft who create and design lots of football merchandise. So footballers, you would have seen them on Instagram, Facebook, that sort of thing, quite a following. Their website is carltondraftshirts.com. Carlton Draft, D-R-A-F-T, draft, shirts.com. If you use the code Magoos at checkout, you'll receive 15% off. I think it was 15%. Could have been 10. It's 10 or 15%. I'm not sure which one it is. I think I got 15% off, but who knows if they're like, you know, if depending on what you buy, like if you buy some sort of, you know, if you buy a Collingwood merch, that might come through to them and they think, oh, no, 8% for you. But then for me, I've got 15% off because I bought an Essendon jumper recently with Sam Draper on it. It's fantastic. I think it's 15%. Anyway, Magoos at checkout, MAGOOS. Back to the show.
Very excited. Very exciting week.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm excited for you.
Well, mate, I came back from Coolangatta and back to Victoria to try and get the vibe going.
Get the vibe?
Yeah, well, there's no vibe in Coolangatta, mate, for AFL football. So I thought I'd better come home and try and create some.
Create a buzz in the western suburbs.
Yeah, get down the beach and serve a few Melbourne supporters up.
Yeah, bloody beautiful, bloody beautiful. What a better way to introduce, obviously back on the podcast once again. This time you are aware and it is consented to, because I did throw you under the bus a little bit last time. But
that was fine, mate.
That was fine, yeah. I knew you wouldn't mind deep down. But Uncle Paul, my uncle, famous doggy supporter, aka the Oracle, people are calling you at the moment. Just before we introduce you, I did want to just replay just what you had said the other week, actually, just for people at home who might not have listened. This is just after you won against Essendon, we had you on. So we'll just listen to what the predictions were.
Talking about Mojo, other than last week, there wasn't much momentum there, but you feel like just that win on the weekend solidifies that confidence. Brizzy, are we confident?
I think we can go all the way to the grand final. Oh. I think Melbourne would be a tough call, but I think we could beat Brisbane Lions.
Yep.
This weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't rate Port Adelaide at all.
Really? You didn't watch them on the weekend?
I did, but I thought Geelong were very, very ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And Port Adelaide, I've seen them a few times, and I reckon, but when they beat us a couple of weeks ago, there's only one player that beat us, and he's as old as you. He's as old as me.
I was going to say, I'm not that old, mate. No,
he's as old as me, the bloke that beat us. And we weren't playing very well.
Yeah.
So, we've got our major back. They've got to maintain that. I think they can.
It's a fair old prediction, isn't it? He's just picked the eyes out of the final series as we stand.
It absolutely blew us away. I mean, to say you're going to beat a team is one thing, but nobody other than yourselves and probably other dog supporters, you just said don't rate Port, don't rate them at all.
Well, if you look at even the results of the Brownlow Medal, Ben and Jake, Adelaide, Port Adelaide had Ollie Wines, star player, great winner of the Brownlow. But who was their second best player for the season? A bloke as old as me, Travis Boak. And he can't play every week. He gets votes. If he's their second best player, they've got major problems. And they need to go back to the ballot box and try and pick some players up.
Well, there you go. It was harsh.
They're in the rearview mirror now. We don't have to worry about Port Adelaide anymore. No. They are yesterday's news. We need to know how the Dogs are going to pick apart the D's on Saturday night. That's what we need to know now, Paul.
Okay. Well, I think somebody's been listening to our coaching meetings that Bevel and the team and I have been having, because I was listening to a bit of Fox Football last night. And part of it's out of the bag. I mean, the obvious ones are you beat Max Gawn in the middle, or you contain Max Gawn in the middle and you're halfway there. And the other two blokes you've got to contain is Oliver racing out of the middle and Jake Lever, make him accountable. You do the job on those three players and you win the game. And I think we proved it last week. Stephen Martin coming in. How good is our coach, Bevo? He told the media about, I reckon, 8 weeks ago, stop asking me about Stephen Martin. I'll tell you when he's fit. You'll see him on the park when he's fit. Don't ask any more questions about him. And he brought him straight out of the blocks, out of the medical room, put him on the park, and did a great job last week. He'll do the same this week against Gawn. He doesn't have to beat Gawn. He just has to nullify. And let's face it, Max is getting a bit tired. He's getting a bit old, and he won't have a game like against Geelong, will he? I mean, he can't play like that again. Won't do that. So we win the ball there. We contain them in the middle. I mean, Dunkley goes to Clayton Oliver and nullify him a little bit. Dunkley's the best smotherer, best tackler in the competition. And Jake Lever, well, Shacky did the job last week. Why can't he do the same job again? Be a defensive forward, play him out there. And Stephen May, well, he might do his hamstring by quarter time. If he's going to start chasing Norton out of the goal square, he's in trouble. So I think there's three reasons. And the longer the game goes on, the better we'll be. It'll be very close to halftime. But then after halftime, I think we've got too many guns in the midfield and too many runners that will just or run them off their legs. I'll give it everything to halftime, but they'll be tied. They haven't played. They've only played one game in a month, so they'll be tied by halftime. Then we'll run them away.
Do you think that'll be a tactic, knowing that they've obviously played a game in a month from Bevo?
Well, look, I just think the game just naturally. You got 18 blokes on each side, and they only know one way. Ben, both sides play the same. They'll be full on. They'll chase hard, run hard, and they'll spread very quickly. And both sides play very similar games, very similar football. So I think the first quarter and the second quarter will be very close. But I think after that, we might just run them off their legs a little bit, because our midfield goes a bit deeper and we can run a bit harder. And that's when blokes like Treloar and Bailey Smith come into focus. I mean, they don't know when to stop, especially Bailey Smith. I mean, he's just a gun. He just keep running all day. But look, then you got to kick the goals, don't you? Whoever takes their chances, makes their chances count. That's the key. And I think in the end, the Bulldogs win by probably 4 to 5 goals.
4 to 5.
Nice.
I like it. I mean, you've almost called it the whole time. So yeah. Anyone who's got $5 spare on the sports bet account, 4 to 5 goals.
Well, I saw the odds there today, Ben. They got the Bulldogs at $2.30 in a two horse race. That's terrific odds. If you were a betting man on the football, which I'm not, but if you're inclined to have a bet in the football, $2.30 is a very good bet.
Especially when you've already picked the eyes out of the final series too. I would suggest that it now sounds like a great little bet.
Yeah, Paul, Bondi missed out. Bondi missed out in the middle on Sunday night. But you might just pick up the Norm Smith and the Premiership medals on this coming Saturday.
Something tells me he wouldn't mind that. He'd rather those.
Oh, absolutely.
So 2016 was obviously a magical time to be a Bulldogs supporter.
Oh, wonderful.
What's the what sort of similarities are you feeling between what happened in 2016 and what might be about to happen this weekend for the footy club?
2016 was a shock. I mean, the Bulldogs team came out of nowhere from seventh spot. Really weren't expected to beat West Coast over in Perth, and we weren't ready for a flag. I think they weren't positioning themselves for 16. They were waiting for 7 or 18. So that was a real shock. And when it came to fruition, oh, what a wonderful time in Melbourne for Western Bulldogs. This year, the Bulldogs have been first and second all season. So the expectation's been there all year that we're going to play in the grand final. I think we're a much better side. We're a better side now than we were in 16. Probably playing against a better opposition as well. But we're going in the game this weekend. Obviously not favourites for the bookies, but I think I think they'll be feeling pretty confident about winning this game. We've got some really good footballers in that team now that just don't know how to give up. Defensively, Alex Keith, if he's not the best fullback in the competition this year, I'll go he. I'm not sure how many goals he's had kicked against him, but probably maybe four.
Yes, hasn't been many.
So good luck, Ben Brown. You won't get a kick. And Gardner, well, he doesn't know how to mark, but he knows how to spoil. And then you bring the ball down to the ground, and then the Bailey Brigade just take over.
Yeah, I love the Bailey Brigade as well.
Especially
Bailey Day, although I love the way he goes about it off halfback. Real penetrating kick, takes his 15 steps as well. Like, he'll break that line. I think that's so important to that team.
If he and Bailey Williams aren't the best two kicks coming off the halfback flank, then I'm not a good judge.
I think you've actually gone without one of those other in Caleb Daniel as well, I think.
Yeah, but Caleb Daniel's not a penetrating kick. He's only a 30 to 40 metre. He hits targets. But Williams and Dale, they run near 20 or 30 metres and then kick the ball 50 metres, hit blokes on chest. I mean, yeah. Bailey Dale's been exceptional this year.
And against the Ds, how important is that going to be this weekend? Obviously, hitting targets obviously important, but more so against a team that will punish if you do turn it over.
I think we match up well in their back line. Duray will pick up a Kaiser Kickett.
Yep.
The haircut man over in Melbourne, he'll probably get picked up by Bailey Williams. Do you reckon he should get a haircut before the grand final, Ben?
Who's this?
Bailey Fritsch.
I've heard him in a couple of interviews and they get around the do. I think it's atrocious. I just keep going. It's just too high.
Yeah, it's a bit ordinary, but no, look, yeah. I think our back line will take care. I think, look, it'll be a good contest down there. I mean, the middle's going to be where it's won, isn't it? I mean, you've got two great midfields. It's going to be a ripping game. Let's hope it on paper it's a ripping game. Let's hope it goes out that way.
Absolutely.
If you go back to 2016, Jake, the Bulldogs won the VFL and the AFL. And I think we'll do it again. We won the VFL this year, although there wasn't a finals, but we're awarded the championship of being premiers, undefeated premiers, and we'll get the AFL.
Okay.
Sounds pretty easy, really, doesn't it?
A lot of depth, yeah.
And if you're a numbers man, Ben, as you are, I know you're a numbers man.
Big numbers guy, I've always
been. Big numbers guy.
Yeah. 8,000 sausages in my life. Paul, how many sausages do you reckon I've eaten in my time?
Heavy sausages.
Like, you know me and the way I was growing up.
Well, I always thought you were a bit of a silly sausage, like in on the Bulldogs when I told you to get on when you're a young bloke. But
yeah,
you probably eat thousands of things.
Very good.
Yeah. I reckon you're about right.
Someone else to corroborate the story.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with a good sausage. You just can't have it every day. In fact, I had a cup for breakfast today, Ben.
Did you? Runs in the family, Jake. What were you saying, about numbers? Yeah,
the other stat is that we'll be handed our number three cup by the famous number three man.
Chris Grant.
So you go in threes and you go in twos. They're great numbers, twos and threes. They're good numbers.
Twos and threes.
But a neighbour of mine who plays footy for Werribee and hopes to get drafted one day, and he's a Bulldog supporter, he said to me today that, do you know, in the last eight premierships, the side that has won got less Brownlow medal votes than the side they beat.
All right. Yeah.
Now, this year, Melbourne D's got more votes in the Brownlow than the Dogs. So it'll be nine in a row then.
Yeah, I saw something similar to that about teams with the amount of Brownlow votes in a season or polling every round or that sort of thing. And I think Essendon in 2000 were like the only out of that list that were that actually won the premiership. Or there was only a couple in there.
That was a great season for Essendon, wasn't it? And
you can't talk about Essendon all night, Paul.
No. Or you can't because, I mean, the Bulldogs handed Essendon the greatest favour in football they could have possibly done that year.
That's right, when you beat them.
Yeah, they stopped that undefeated run off you and then they could concentrate, oh, we're lost now, we can go on and win the premiership.
Yeah, you could definitely say that, I reckon. Yeah.
A little bit of a grounding.
Yeah, I reckon Kevin Sheeds would be, he would agree with that.
Yeah.
So, Paul, we've obviously, we've loved having you on the show over the last few weeks, and we do keep our fingers crossed for you and all the Bulldogs Brigade out there. You've said that it'll be around a 4 or 5 goal margin to your beloved Dogs. Who can you see getting the Norm Smith? Is Bont your man, or could there be a smoky out there from the Dogs?
I think if the Bulldogs win, the Bont will win the Norm Smith, but he'll have contenders because Bailey Smith's starting to get a bit of recognition of the long flocks now, so he might he'll show up. But the star of the show could be Tony Liberatore, but he gets the ball so quickly they don't rate him, but he could be the real star of the show.
It's very true about in and under. But I think Jake was just reading out before who's actually given out the Norm votes. It's not the umpires, so
no,
someone like Tom Liberatore may get more recognition.
Yeah, no, he's pivotal in the centre for the Dogs. But really, if the Dogs win as we expect, I mean, I think the Bont, he will lead that side and lead them really well.
Yeah, so he'd need a couple goals then, you'd think, along with his 25.
Yeah, if he gets 25 and 2 goals, then he almost wins a Norm Smith. And I hope... They stop giving the Norm Smith to a guy from the losing side, even though he might be a better player in the day, but that's a bad decision.
Yeah, you have to be, it has to be a very, very close game, and they have to be very, very good to not be one of the winners in that. Paul, good luck. Good luck for the weekend. I'll keep my fingers crossed for your Dogs. You've had their journey spot on the whole way, so here's hoping that you've got one more prediction in you.
Yeah, the other prediction, first goal. We need to get the first goal off.
Oh, first goal, yep.
Oh, the first goal? Okay. Well, let's go with, I think maybe Cody Waitman.
Nice. Yeah. He's definitely one of those players. And
will it be from a free kick, Paul? What do you think?
Well, he only gets free kicks that he earns.
All right, I'm joking. We got to wrap this up, mate.
I'll stand in between you. I'll get in between you two if you want to get caught in Bulldogs S. Yeah,
Ben, you got to get over the fact that over that fact, mate.
I'm over it. I won't be watching Ocean's 12 this weekend. I will be watching the granny.
And you're going for the Dogs, Ben?
I'll be barracking for a good game, I think, Paul.
And the Dogs to win, Ben.
And the Dogs to win, yes.
Don't you, mate?
Yeah, good on you, Paul. Uncle Paul, a.k.a. The Oracle, thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Been a pleasure. Thanks for talking.
The Magoos.
Sorry, down the line, I'll figure it out. I'm just... don't worry. But like, you know how. Just set the context. I've just woken up from a nap, Jake. So I'm very just scattered. But when Ben texted me about this, I said this is probably the most exciting thing that's happened to me in my life. And Ben didn't know whether that was the saddest thing he's heard or the best thing he's heard in his life. But somehow in that week of text, the importance of this meeting has just seen massive drops and I've completely forgotten about it and decided to take a nap in arguably the most crucial time of the year in the footy calendar.
The irony of all this is you don't look like you've had a nap at all.
Do I look fresh or do I look...
To put it nicely, you don't look well. Oh, fuck it. And I think that's actually probably, I was thinking of what intro we could have for this segment.
But do I have butthole eyes? Are my eyes dark?
Yeah, they are a bit, actually, now that you mention it. This has already been derailed, but
it's just great to have Sam back.
Dave, it's fantastic to have you back. Anyone who's listening for the first time, apologies. We had a great segment that ran a fair bit last year. It was called Sam 60, good friend of the show and my housemate at the time, which we are no longer housemates, but Sam would jump on because he always had something to talk about the footy or sport or just anything really. He does have a tendency to ramble. So we thought...
I'd got the feeling that the show had too much structure over the last four or five episodes. It was going too smoothly. There was not enough left field. Will he show up? Won't he show up? That sort of a vibe around the show. And I feel like we've got everything we've ever needed right now with this shirtless man who's woken up for the nap at 6:40 p.m.
On a Wednesday.
I've done my task. I've done some work today with my hands and then went gardening in the backyard. I thought, I deserve a nap. And then, hump days, all right? They just get you.
They do get you.
They just get you.
I guess, I mean, just to wrap up how the segment works, obviously we give Sam typically 60 seconds, but there was we had a lot of feedback about getting Sam back on. So given us the grand final, I don't know what you've got for us, but we may, with Jake's permission, give you 120 seconds. How about that? What about double?
Yeah.
Is it you need the double? Do you think that you'll be able to make use of the time?
I don't know.
I'm just happy to push the start button and then I will make the executive decision at 60 seconds whether or not it's worthwhile doubling up.
Yeah, no, I think moderation is highly recommended for this because this is the picture of whatever the opposite of preparation is.
Okay. You do have to realise though, Sam, as much as we love you, that's what the people have come to expect.
Did I mention I'm a wordsmith? Yeah.
All right, Ben, it's time. Without any further ado, we welcome back Sam 60/120. Groaning and all, your time starts now.
All right. Well, I don't really have anything to complain about because, I don't know, life's pretty good. So nothing's really got my goat at the moment. Probably just having a look at Ben's hair. That's probably got my goat a bit.
Hang on, you've covered with nothing.
It's a bit bothering me about your look.
Well, some people have kept me up in all hours not knowing if they're going to come on the show or not. But I'm interrupting. Please continue.
Of course, you sleepless nights. All right. Look, honestly, footy related, probably Cody Waitman really pissed me off. Not him as a human, but as a Bombers man, that fucking destroyed me. Sorry for the swearing, but that game sucked. I don't really have anything I'm angry about. I don't really have anything I want to take aim at in the footy world. So this is not really a angry 60s. Perhaps maybe Sam extending an olive branch to the footy world and saying, you know what, everything's all right.
So I'm happy to pull it there. Sam 70, it will be called. And
I've just muted him for a sec too, Jake.
I think there's a complete moment of peace where Sam has looked at the footy world in the eye and said, we're on good terms. Extend an olive branch.
All right. Hang on. All right, let's unmute him.
Oh, Jake, that's exactly what's happened.
I like it. I think it shows another side of you, a vastly unprepared side. But, yeah. But the fact that you didn't really default into, well, you know, let me find something wrong, let me just think that maybe things aren't that bad. I don't mind that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously it's just good to even have footy on. I am so excited for this weekend. I don't think and I know I just talked a big game about being excited for this podcast, but we'll just put that aside and go the excitement for the game this weekend.
Do you know what time it starts?
Yeah, it's what, 7 o'clock or something? So I'll
probably wait. What do you think?
Surely you got 60 seconds on that.
Well, I might sleep through it, knowing how my afternoons are panning out. But look, I'm just really excited for it. So, as I said, Olive Branch has been extended to the football world. I never really hated it.
We never asked you to hate it. I mean, I like you've done a bit of a Kane Cornsy. You just sort of flipped the switch. You've been on,
honestly, if I had said his name earlier in the call, I probably would have filled out the 120 seconds. That guy's a bit of a...
This is what I'm talking about. I mean, you two can get together and think, oh, this is all lovely. Sam's got no qualms about the footy. And I think that's total bullshit. I think you... If I just dropped one name just then, you could.
Maybe the past years as seen a side of Sam 60 personal growth. I don't know.
Yeah, personal growth, napping on Wednesdays.
Yeah, yeah. Being okay with Brett Kirk's speech.
Hang on. This is something else just coming to the frame now. Is that an e-cigarette?
Yeah, I'm vaping now. Do you want to say it on air?
Most extraordinary. Oh, Jake, it's not a live TV
Jake,
show.
Please.
Bullshit. This is not being filmed, is it? You're not
Jake,
putting this video on, are
you? Oh, not at all.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, I might keep it for the archives.
Let the record state that I'm doing the most elaborate, insane vape tricks ever.
Jake, what do you reckon? I think Sam 60 never to be returned again.
It's back. It's back with a bang. He's literally had 12 months to prepare for it and was caught napping during the
That's too good. That is too
Sam,
good.
Sam, it's always an absolute pleasure, my friend. Thank you. Give us a tip for this weekend just before we let you go potentially.
Do you know who's playing?
Yeah, fuck off, mate. I'm going to go. I think Doggy's going to pip him. To be honest, I think Melbourne are the better side, but I think the Dogs have just got that ticker, that magic, that something you can't quite put your finger on a bit. I think they're going to get it. Who have you guys got? I know you're probably going to cover that. Am I ruining a segment?
Well, yeah, you might have to stay tuned, mate.
Stay tuned for our tips. We want to keep everyone here for the duration of the show. We don't want to give away the magic.
All right, sick. I'll continue this conversation tomorrow with my headphones in, listening to it.
Thank you, Sammy. Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, much love, boys.
Sammy, yeah. Cheers, mate.
The Magoos.
Benny, another big show in the biggest week in the final calendar. Great to have Jimmy Plunkett make his case for the D's. Uncle Paul, as good as ever. They've both got me really torn between which way to go. And of course, it was great to hear from our man Sam again. Good to see that he's still up to his old tricks. So, before we wanted to go, there will be more Magoo stuff coming very, very shortly. So, don't think that we're just going to disappear again, as we might have a bit of a habit of doing. We'll be back next week to discuss everything, all the fallout, as they say. But
amongst other things, too.
Amongst other things, we've got depth. We've spoken about television. We've spoken about plants.
Sausages.
There's a whole lot of things that we can talk about. So don't think we'll be going anywhere. But we have asked our guests for the winner, the margin, the Norm Smith and the first goal, Ben. So you give us yours, please.
It's interesting how we've just asked people about it and I haven't really given it too much thought. I think despite telling Uncle Paul I'll be going for the Dogs, I would like to see the D's win a premiership, I think. So I'm going to go the D's, less than the 19 points that Jimmy gave us. I'm going to go with maybe 11, or I'm going to be tight. I just can't see either team folding, which I think makes for an exciting game, or at least prospect. First goal, I'm going to go Ben Brown first goal. I know, again, apparently Alex Keith's only had 4 goals kicked against him, but Benny Brown, I reckon he might kick one. Actually, no. You know what? I'm going to change that. Can I change that?
Yep.
Yeah, can I? I reckon our man has been on the show before.
Mitch
Hannon.
Yeah.
How's an E been playing some bloody good footy lately?
Hasn't he
just been unbelievable? He just complements that forward line so well. And he's just that kind of guy that pops up for one or two, and he literally has been every single week. He's getting three or four shots at it every week because you just, who do you put on him? Because you focused on all these other guys, which he was waiting back in. So I'm gonna go Mitch Hannon actually, first goal. Nice. But the D's to win by 11. Norm Smith, if the D's are getting up. Yeah, I reckon Petraka. I reckon he's gonna kick a couple and he'll just break long ones like he has been lately.
Yeah. No, makes total sense, Ben.
So that could have been wrapped up a lot quicker. Sorry about that.
Maybe a little bit. I've got mine in my head, so okay. I think the D's their defense will be too good. I think
hang on a minute. You said the D's weren't gonna make it 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but look. I just think that they are the best team in the comp, I think. And there's no point cheering against that because it's true. So the D's will win. They'll win by about 21 points. I'm happy to go with James Harms now for the Norm Smith.
Yeah,
a bit of a left field one. And I had Ben Brown down as first goal. So I thought we were going to agree on something for the very first time, but that wasn't to be. That's the way I think it'll go. Thank you, Ben. As we said, we'll be back again next week to unpack everything that goes down in the grand final. Hopefully some of our predictions are right somewhere, and I'm sure we'll be chatting to a supporter or two from the winning team. So thank you for tuning in. Make sure you give us a share on your socials. Make sure you follow us, review us, all those sort of fun things. And we'll chat to you next week.
Beauty. Thanks, Jake.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.